Good evening. This is a Steve Barish Healing Hour, and I'm so glad to be with you again this evening. We have a special person aboard, and it's Dr. Valerie Olmsted, and I'm so looking forward to hearing from her. Valerie?
Yes, Steve.
Yeah, there you are. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Absolutely. I was wondering if we could talk a little bit about cooperation between nature and human.
And, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a big subject. You know, nature cooperates with us all the time. It doesn't happen reciprocally.
You bet.
Too often.
You bet. You know, it's so many times when I'm behind somebody in a car, and I see them throwing the cigarette butts outside. You know, they have no idea of nature's carpet or, you know, it's just, it's so bad to see that. It's
yeah.
so ugly to see that. And
I agree. You know,
yeah.
here in Sedona, most of the people who live here, if they smoke, when they hike, they take a little, one of those little beanbag ashtrays with them.
Oh, great.
And they never leave their filter butts all over. They just
mm-hmm.
take them back with them and they dispose of them in the garbage. And the reason they do this is because, you know, this is a fragile environment.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, you know, when you think of something like that, I think it takes like 7 years or more for one of those filter butts to decompose.
Yeah.
And nicotine is a deadly poison.
Yes.
And, you know, most people don't realize that. They think smoking's fine, everything's wonderful. And, you know, you get these people that go, oh, you know, tobacco is holy and pure. Like, give me a break, you know. It was meant to be used strictly as a ceremony, not to be smoked 20 or more times a day and not to have all these additives in it.
Right.
And, and so what happens is, you know, you have a concentration in the cigarette butt of all of the you know, the poisons and toxins, which are way more than nicotine. But what they're doing is, by leaving those butts out there in nature, they're poisoning any animal that comes along. If they get into the water supply, it will poison them that way, and one drop of pure nicotine is enough to kill an adult.
Yep.
So, and that's just on the hand, you know, just absorbed through your skin.
Yes.
So, I mean, this is how terribly toxic this stuff is.
Yes.
And I can't tell you the heartbreak that happens in every emergency room anywhere when they have a little kid who's been brought in because they have eaten cigarette butts.
Mm.
And they die. There's nothing anybody can do to save them.
That's terrible.
And I've seen plenty of that. You know, I was an RN for over 30 years, and,
yes.
and you know, my specialty was emergency.
Yes.
So, you know, I mean, we had at least 1 year that came in like that, where the parents had a big party and everybody was smoking and yucking it up and having a good time and getting
right.
drunk. And then a little toddler would crawl in and they put everything in their mouth, you know.
Yes.
So they'd get to the ashtray and stick those things in their mouth and that's it, they're dead.
Yeah.
They go into a coma and then they die.
Yeah.
So, and that's just one portion of how we don't respect ourselves or nature.
Yes.
And, you know, if people really realize that this body is a gift
yes,
and
it is
made of the substance of Mother Earth, with the breath of God within it.
Yes.
You know, they call it that the breath is also called a spiritus. And so, you know, we would not be alive, we would not be breathing without this magical spark that happens.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, to go and routinely poison our bodies and then to poison the planet so that nobody can live on it.
That's right.
I mean, that's just foolishness. And
yes.
You know, I think that people need to understand, first of all, I'm not, you know, a rabid environmentalist. I'm what I call a rational environmentalist.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right, right.
I'm not against everything and everyone and all this kind of stuff. You know, I kind of live and let live. But when you see foolish things happening in the environment, and this goes beyond just the dumping of our poisonous toxic waste
yes.
and chemicals that we've created, it goes beyond that.
Yes.
It goes to the poisoning of the environment with our thoughts.
Yes.
And, you know, now that we're understanding more through quantum physics and quantum mechanics and plasma physics, we're starting to see that our thoughts are things.
Yes.
And, you know, people are howling about, oh, what a terrible world it is, and oh, terrorists, ooh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're going through all these things, and we're creating it.
Yes.
You know, people have to stop focusing on that kind of crap. Yes, stop it when it gets in front of you, but don't focus on it. You know,
yeah.
and don't be so in fear that you create the exact thing that you're afraid of.
Yes.
Because that's what happens.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and so, you know, you see all these people that are going through life and really creating hell on earth.
Well, I think a lot of it basically is the education of understanding what Mother Earth really wants, and to focus on her is to love her. And I think that basically what I do is that if I see cigarette butts, I go pick them up and throw them out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, throw them on the side of the road or whatever the case may be. But I guess what really irks me is these people, they just take the cigarettes and just throw it out on the street. They're looking for, they actually look around and make sure nobody's looking and throw it out.
Oh, yeah, they dump the whole ashtray.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Well, it goes beyond that, too. I was taking a hike one time in Nevada, and I used to lead hikes out in the desert, you know, teach these nurses desert survival skills and things like that. And I was going with one of the people I worked with, and she had her teenage kids with her.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got our lunch with us, and we're hiking. We're up at about, I don't know, 5,000 feet or 6,000, somewhere out there. We're out, you know, north of Las Vegas, and we're up in the mountains where it's cold, you know, even in the heat of summer. We're hiking along, and these kids are drinking their sodas, and the one kid just threw the can at the side of the trail. I said, "What the hell are you doing?"
Mm-hmm.
And the kid goes, "What?" I said, "Why did you throw that can?" The kid said, "Well, I'm done with it."
Isn't that amazing?
I said, "Oh, my God, that's aluminum. That's never going to decompose."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I yelled at him right there. The mother was really embarrassed, you know.
Right,
and I was yelling at this kid.
Yeah.
You pick that can back up and put it in your pack. I better not see you drop anything else out here.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, you know. And this is what the majority of the Western world does.
It's really incredible. It's really they throw the trash out all over the place, tires, everything, and it's. People just
believe
don't care.
You know what they need to do is they need to go spend some time down in a third world country.
Yeah.
Like I've spent many months down in Belize and traveling through the interior of Mexico and down into Guatemala and all this stuff. And I can tell you that those people down there are so poor. I mean, you talk about dirt poor, that's where it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they build their homes with no codes or anything else. You know, they're shacks, really.
Yes. Yeah,
and one family that we stayed with, they had big holes in the floor, you know, where they couldn't afford to get wood, and so they just had like these big gaping holes in the kitchen, and they would just throw their stuff down the hole, and everything's up on stilts because of floods and stuff.
Yeah.
But what they would do is they would take a plastic bag or a can that an American threw out, and they use it. They would cut that can apart, they'd flatten it, they you know make shingles for their houses and for their roofs and.
Yeah.
And everything else, it's a whole different way of living. And every plastic bag is kept. Every piece of plastic or piece of paper, I mean, they utilize it until it literally disintegrates.
Yes, yes.
You know, they just don't throw out garbage like we do.
Yeah, I was watching, I was reading an organic magazine the other day, and they were talking about burning corn, using corn as a heating for the house. Which is really interesting. So evidently they've made a an oven to actually burn corn, keep the house warm.
Well, that makes sense because corn's really a high-energy product.
You bet. And I guess they dry it out, and they use it as a product to keep the house warm. And it's really interesting that they've come up with these programs, and I guess it's in the organic magazines, which is really interesting to read, but... You can do that, and it's really interesting. So that stuff is out there, and I think if more people were educated to the form of knowing what we could do with nature and work with her. But I don't even think people realize that there's chakras on the planet.
I don't think they do. I mean, there's 22 major chakras on the planet. And they're, you know, some male, some female vortexes, very few that are actually both.
Yes. We have a lot here in Rochester, New York, and there's a lot in actually in Canandaigua, New York. I had a friend of mine who had some property in Naples, and a lot of female and male energies, both in those areas and in Rochester. Matter of fact, the Genesee River is a hot spot here. We've actually had the people from Mount Everest here, the monks. And they made a mandala here and threw it in the river.
Wow!
And so it's really there's so much to know, And I don't think people realize either that the earth breathes. And if you take the time to meditate and put your feelers out, you can actually feel the earth move.
Oh, yeah.
And, I think people really need to realize that we have a wonderful planet here, and this is our life. This is our mother. And I think we really need to help her. You know, I was in Philadelphia I go down there a lot. My family's in Philly. And I was on a path called Hidden Path. And I picked up a stone along the way. And I said, Jesus is a pretty stone. And I brought it home to Rochester, New York. And I had it here for about 2 years. And the stone was very unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And the stone actually told me, I really want to go home. I really want you to put me back on the path. As a matter of fact, I would like to be near the water. And so I took it down to Philadelphia. I went back to Hidden Path. I had an idea where I picked up the stone, and the stone told me where it wanted to be. And I put it gently along the riverbed, and I said, thank you so much. And the lesson was that I learned is that before you pick something up in nature, ask it.
Ask oh, absolutely.
The stone if it would like
you know, that's
home.
A big thing here in Sedona.
Yes. Yes,
and
I understand.
So the vortexes that are easy to reach, if you ask, hey, can I take one of these stones home with me, you'll get a resounding no.
Yeah.
And the reason you get a no is because it's too popular because it's too close to the road.
Right, right.
But if you hike way out, like if you take the huge hike to get out into Boynton Canyon and, you know, get around the Enchantment Resort that they blocked the road to Boynton Canyon with.
Right.
And to really, you know, hike the 3 miles plus that it takes to get back there,
mm-hmm.
then a lot of times Boynton Canyon will be happy to let you take pieces of it back.
Yeah, that's nice.
But you know, it's kind of like the other ones. If you take something from Airport Mesa, for instance, then mm-hmm. Which is the easiest one to get to, and from Bell Rock, you may be bringing a pack of trouble home with you.
Yeah,
So we tell people, you know, just take an item of jewelry or something that means something to you, or buy an Indian necklace here or something, and, you know, take it out to the vortex and stick it in the vortex there and meditate with it, and then take mm-hmm. it home. You have the energy with you.
Right, right, right.
And it is extremely powerful energy, and it will definitely accompany you. But one thing people pretty much don't know, too, is that you can actually get the frequencies of each one of the vortexes, and you can measure it. There's a conversion factor, and I'm not a physicist, so don't call me up and ask me how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to itembioenergy.com, they have, I think that's the website address, they have RFI meters, resonant frequency imaging detectors,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
which are basically what Aura machines do, but this is more accurate than that. It will give you the frequency. And then by using the mathematical formula, you can convert that frequency of energy into sound frequency, into hertz. And then you can actually make tuning forks that are, or have them made, you know, that are actually tuned to whatever vortex it is that you want.
Mm-hmm.
But you first have to detect what the frequency is.
Right.
And so a friend of mine here in Sedona actually has done that. She's traveled to all the vortexes in Sedona, and she has had those frequency calculations done, and she's actually created the set of tuning forks for that.
Amazing.
I don't know when she's going to be selling them, but
mm-hmm.
but very interesting stuff, because, you know, we travel to these vortexes in order to give ourselves the boost that we need.
Yes.
You know, to be more in connection with Mother Earth.
Yes.
And to be healed.
Yes.
You know, that's what it's all about, because mm-hmm. we come from Mother.
That's
we go
right.
back to Mother. You know, every atom of our being is
right.
from here, and then well, from out in space, too. You know, there's like 600 tons of dust from Mars that falls on us every year.
Yeah.
Scattered all over the planet. And, you know, so we are actually part starseed also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we, you know, we have to travel around and get these different frequencies actually to help ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people that are traveling around going, oh, well, I'm balancing the frequencies of these vortexes. I have to be there. Like, okay, yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Whatever, you know, whatever floats your boat.
Yeah.
The main thing is you get there.
Yes.
And so I don't really care, you know, why people think they have to go there.
Right.
But you know, it's important to get there.
It's very important.
And I find, like, you know, one of the things I used to do years ago is I would take crystals from one place to another.
Mm-hmm.
and it was basically just to help kind of homogenize the energies, you know.
Yeah.
To help the planet to stay balanced and to just do this connection. You know, we all talk about the connection of the Earth grid and how important it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, after doing the fire the grid thing, man, I can tell you it was amazing.
Yes.
And you know, I felt the connection, and I found myself working on the grid many times since then.
Yes.
And you know, I was before too, but this has brought it more to consciousness than before.
Yes.
And there are some times when you just have to move your body to a certain point in order to pick up that frequency, in order to be able to do more work.
You know, what's interesting is that there's so much to do with Mother Earth and the sun. I know that when I go outside, I actually clear my chakras and the rest of my body just by opening up my hands and standing in the sun and just breathing the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually clears the body. It's so amazing what you can actually do with the sun, or what the sun can do for you. And you really, people really need to be in tune with that. And I think what we've done is, you and I, we've got in touch with our primal selves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people need to do that. They've actually lost that.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You know, and they're in tune with television, but not in tune with Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's so important to realize that there's so much love with the Earth and the sun and the stars. I mean, everything that's made in God's hand is helping us.
Okay.
Everything that we have here, herbs, and there's nobody knows more about herbs than you do.
I'm sure there's plenty of people that do.
Well, you're pretty good at it.
I have a smattering of knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, you want to talk to somebody who really knows herbs, you get in touch with Feather, who's here in town, who's an herbalist. I mean, she's amazing. She does herbal walks and
and
everything else. But Feather Jones is her name, and she's quite well known.
That's great.
And, yeah, she's absolutely amazing. She can tell you things about herbs that would just blow your mind.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah, so but the thing is that, you know, there are things in our lives that we take so for granted.
Yes.
And when people get messed up, and, you know, as a physician, I see a lot of people that are messed up. And believe me, I've seen my fair share here in Sedona.
Yes.
You know, these people are so far out of balance, some of them, that it's just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And they were out of balance before they came here, and then they get totally knocked out of balance by the energies here. And they've forgotten to do the earth thing. And one of my teachers, well, my best teacher, was Torkham Seredarian, who was Armenian, and you know, his books are like translated into 17 different languages. He's
mm-hmm.
written over 50 books. And
mm-hmm.
an amazing guy. I remember calling him up one day when I was in Las Vegas, and I had had this connection to what we call the Father
mm-hmm.
that was so profound during my conscious time that I was weeping. And I couldn't stop crying. I had such love for that portion of myself that I just was overwhelmed. And he said, go do some labors in nature. I said, what?
Yeah.
He said, go outside and do some labor in nature.
Mm.
Do you understand what I said? He had a very thick accent, so
yeah.
You couldn't always understand him. And I went, okay, like gardening? And he said, yes.
Right.
He said, you must go do that immediately, because he said, if you don't ground that energy, you will have problems with your heart and with your stomach.
Mm.
And I thought, wow, I haven't seen that written anyplace. And I still haven't seen that written anyplace. But, you know, it's so important. So I took myself outside. I took a look at this little planter box in front of my mom's window.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here we are in Nevada, you know, in the desert. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to make her a little Sedona-style
Right.
box.
Right.
And she was getting really irate because all the cats in the neighborhood were coming and digging in the sand there. You know, it wasn't really good.
Yeah.
And so I went off to the rock place, and I bought a couple tons of rock and, you know, delivered it back there. And I spent the next couple of days shoveling rock.
Yes.
When I got done, I had this beautiful little pathway by the front door. I had this beautiful rock and cactus thing, you know, by her bedroom window. Now, the rocks are big enough, so the cats gave up trying to dig in there.
Right.
So you know, kind of took care of two birds with one stone.
Mm-hmm.
But then on top of it, I was able to discharge that energy back into the earth.
Yeah.
And it's so important to do that. And if you don't feel like going out and, you know, making a rock garden or something, the main thing to do is take your shoes off and just stand on some earth. Now, it's safer to stand on rock, and I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
Especially in certain areas of the country, like in the south. If you stand on bare earth, there are hookworms and things that will come up through the bottoms of your feet.
Okay.
I know it's gross.
Yeah.
But this is one of the problems. This is why we, you know, we went to having shoes, and this is why we don't sleep on the ground and things like that, because there are all kinds of parasites that want to live, too. And if we give them that environment, then they're going to take advantage of it. So if you're going to take your shoes off, go stand on some stone.
Right. I know that I have a shaman friend, and he told me a long time ago, he says, when's the last time you stood on the earth? I said, geez, it's been a long time. He says, go take your shoes off and stand in the grass and just enjoy it. And you actually just feel yourself opening up, and it's just absolutely fabulous. But the best fun I have is when I go to the Atlantic Ocean. I was raised in Philadelphia, and we were 70 miles from Brigantine, New Jersey, which is 4 miles from Atlantic City. And we had a summer home there for about 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the salt water was just so purifying.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, you can actually feel the waves coming in and bringing the love and the energy. You can actually feel it as it was going out, pulling the bad stuff out. Mm-hmm. And I miss that so much. Matter of fact, I just had a friend of mine go down to actually Cape May, New Jersey, which is about 30 miles from Atlantic City. Mm-hmm. And she just absolutely loves it. She's from Margate, New Jersey, and they have a giant elephant there called Lucy. And she was built in 1898. And so we have a love affair with Lucy. We remember from when we were kids. Mm-hmm. And so Debbie is a fabulous friend. She's my best friend. She's just a fabulous person to talk to when it comes to Lucy and the New Jersey. And so she's been a fabulous friend and really, really a good person. And but, you know, there's so much to do with Mother Earth, just to give back as much love to Mother Earth as she gives us without us even knowing. And we really need to be compassionate with the Earth.
And the other thing, too, is to do our part. You know, like I used to go out camping every week, and I would go at least overnight, and then I would go like about once a month. I would take the entire weekend off, and then once every 6 months I would take at least a week, and I would go to the place where I would know nobody else would be. I'd drive as far as I could with my four-wheel drive, and then hike as far as I could.
Yeah.
Really about a quarter of a mile, you know, carrying all the stuff.
I'd set up
my tent. I'd be totally alone.
Right.
One of the things that was part of my practice is I would bring a couple garbage bags and some gloves with me. Mm-hmm. And if I went to a site that had a bunch of garbage there, I'd just pick all the garbage up and take it back with me and take it to the dump. Mm-hmm. And people thought that was so weird. And I said, how can you go out into nature, especially at a site where other people have camped, and you get all these people that go out there and they're drunk and they're smoking and they're drinking and they're shooting off their firearms.
Yeah.
And I'm not against guns. Let me put that right there. You know, I think an armed society is a polite society.
Mm-hmm.
But so I think we need to like get rid of these gun control people and go back to the fact that people will take care of things themselves.
Yeah.
But anyway, they're shooting bottles and stuff.
Mm.
And you know, there was this one site I used to camp out in Nevada, and I went there one day, and I just had to get away because I just had too many people around. You know. And I was on overload, so I was like, I just got to go to this site. And I pull up there. It was a mess. And so I spent the better part of the day cleaning up that site. I had the entire back of my SUV at the time was filled with garbage. And, you know, so I spent my 3 days there, cleaned up the site and everything, and, you know, got the calm that I needed and, you know, discharged the negative energies and stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I drive out of the campsite. And the wheel falls off my car.
Oh, boy.
And I thought, this is the craziest thing, you know. And I had just had the brakes checked at one of the, you know, chain muffler shops.
Yeah.
And so I So I had to hike down the road about a quarter of a mile, and I found this little tiny stream there along the side of the road I never knew existed. Mm. I thought, well, that's interesting. It's a nice, fresh, clear stream. And I heard this bell in the distance, and I knew there was some kind of little place up there. So I hiked up another quarter of a mile, and it was a little youth camp for addicted teens.
Right.
And boys camp, you know. So I'm walking past, and, of course, the administration hut was at the top of the hill. So I got a, you know, pretty strenuous hike in there. I get up there, and the guy was in such a bad mood. He was coming off the night shift. And so he said, well, he said, here, I'll let you use the phone. So I called the tow truck, and I was telling him what was going on while we were waiting for the tow truck to arrive, because I'm out where I'm not supposed to be, you know, four-wheel driving.
Right, right, right.
So it cost me like $175 to get this tow back to town. But anyway, we're sitting there talking. He's just getting madder by the minute. He's going, this just isn't fair. You came out here because, you know, you needed relief, and it's just so horrible. And I said, why do you think that? And he said, well, you had to pick up everybody else's garbage. I said, well, first of all, I didn't have to. And secondly, I got the relief that I needed. And this is a beautiful spot, and I wanted to leave it nice for someone else. And as we talked, I thought, oh, wow, I know exactly why I brought this little book. It was called Irritation, the Destructive Fire. And it's one of Torkham's books.
Right.
And it talks all about the harm that we do to ourselves by being irritated and how important it is not to be irritated.
Right.
And I had read that book probably 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
And as I walked out the door when I was going camping, I went to pick it up, and I went, why am I taking that? I've read it 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
And a little voice said, take it with you. I went, okay, I guess I'll read it 101 times. So I took it with me, and I said, well, take me up to my car here. So the guy took me up to the car, and I grabbed this book. I said, here, this is for you.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just in shock. He said, I can't believe that you have the exact thing that I need.
Yeah.
I said, that's the way it's supposed to work.
Yep.
We need to listen to our small voice.
Yeah.
And I said, now look at it this way. This is what you needed so that you didn't quit the good work that you're doing. Because he was ready to quit. He was really angry.
Okay.
I said, this is what you needed. So I came here. I picked up the garbage. I had a great time, you know, other than picking up the garbage. But, you know, I had a great time. I got the relief I needed. The reason the wheel fell off of my car was so I would come up here, meet you, hand you the book. And so, you know, I get into the tow truck, and we go back to Las Vegas, back to the muffler shop, and they fixed it all, and then they paid my towing bill.
That's amazing.
I said, now, I could have chosen to get really angry because my wheel fell off because the guy didn't put the lug nuts back on right.
Yeah, yeah.
But I said, I chose not to do that. I chose to wait and see what happened. And so I said, everything happened exactly the way it was supposed to happen.
You bet.
Yeah, it didn't cost me anything other than a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the tow truck driver told me other places I could camp where there was a natural apple orchard and a beautiful big stream, a little hidden place that was nearby where I had been, and I had no idea it was there.
That's wonderful. I'd like to put something out to our audience. Valerie and I are willing to help you, to work on you, and to help whatever we can to give you a lot more healing power and a lot better feelings. So if anybody's out there that needs to call in, please don't hesitate. We're looking forward to helping you. So there, that's out there.
Yeah.
And
anybody that wants the healing should call in right now.
Absolutely.
Because we will do our best to send you the right energies.
Absolutely.
Besides, it's fun.
Yeah, that's for sure.
That's why we do it, you know. You know, everybody goes, oh, you know, you're so noble, you do this healing. It's like, no, actually, I do the healing because it's fun.
It is. It's a
lot
of fun.
Because we can.
Yep, and we can. It's a gift.
Yeah. It gets to be a heck of a lot of fun. I love it when people say, wow, you know, that really worked.
Yeah.
You know, because to me, what it's doing is it's showing us the magnificence of God.
Yes.
And that's why it's fun. You know, it's not, oh, I can do this. You know, we all have talents. We all got some amazing talents.
Yes.
You know, and this just happens to be the stuff that you and I like to do.
Yes. And it's all from God.
Yeah.
And that's where
it, other people can manifest things, you know, amazingly right through the air.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Sai Baba can do verbuti and can do, you know, jewelry and all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, other people can, you know, always show up at the right moment when they're needed. And, and teleport and bilocate, and other people are amazing telepaths, and we just are healers.
Yeah. And we love helping people, so if there's anybody out there, don't hesitate to call in.
Yeah, you know, I call it helper's disease.
Is that what it is, helper's disease?
Yeah, it can make you out of balance if you're not careful. Like anything else, you know, you have to have balance.
Yeah.
And it took me a long time to learn that one. And Torkum said to me one day, you know, even Jesus Christ had to go out into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights to recharge his battery.
Mm-hmm.
What makes you think you don't have to?
That's right.
I was like, oh, good point.
That's right. Maybe if I went out to the desert 40 days and 40 nights, I'd lose 40 pounds.
Well, yeah, I can pretty much guarantee you would, but you better bring a ton of water with you.
Yeah, that's all I need is water.
Or camp out next to a stream.
A healthy stream.
Yeah, a very healthy stream.
Yeah, for sure.
There are some really amazing streams out in the desert that, you know, one of the tricks of desert survival is finding where the water is.
Mm.
And so if you don't know how to douse, then you have to look for trees, and you look for sycamore trees.
Yeah, we have Dowsing Society here in Rochester. It's pretty good.
Oh, cool. Yeah, we have a big one out here.
Do you have a big one out there?
Yeah, I can remember, for, you know, dowsing for water when I was a kid. I'm a pretty good dowser.
Mm.
You know, and I like to do it with the wood because I have the, you know, connection to nature. I can do it with the metal, but it doesn't feel the same. You know, the metal's easier for people that are not used to doing it, but the wood, boy, that's powerful. When the stick you're holding all of a sudden takes a dive, you go,
you
whoa.
Bet. You bet.
Yeah,
it's really amazing.
Yeah, and you can douse people, too. You can use dowsing for manifestation. You can use it for all kinds of things, but the big caveat there is, like anything else, you know, if you're not careful, you can get out of balance.
Mm.
And Yananda had told me that I had a friend who was dowsing too much and was way out of balance.
Yeah.
And I couldn't for the life of me figure out who that was. You know, but there's a lot of people here that do dowsing, and I think I know who it was now. I can't go back and ask him since he's passed on, but I think I know who that was because there was somebody here that flipped out totally.
Really?
A few months ago, and I went, oh, wait a minute, they do dowsing.
Mm.
That could have been what the problem was.
Yeah.
But he was trying to warn me.
Can we talk about you taking a trip around the country and doing shows and different things of that nature?
Oh, yeah, that's fun. Yeah. We're getting ready to leave. Madeline and I are going to take off probably the first week of October, and we're going to go first to Colorado Springs. Then we will be going to, I think, in Wisconsin Rapids area.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly Michigan, pretty much for sure Indianapolis, and then Boston either just before or just after. And then we'll be in New York the 19th through the 21st of October at the New Life Expo. I'm just going to go in there just to do my talk on the building blocks for quantum physics.
Wonderful.
For manifestation. And then I'll be speaking also and doing a workshop at the Meta Center in Manhattan on the 24th, and then after that we're going to come down to Pennsylvania and, you know, come down the eastern seaboard and go into Florida and come along through the south, through Atlanta, probably Houston, Louisiana, New Orleans, and New Mexico, and I'll probably stop off at Hot Springs, Arkansas also, and probably North Carolina, South Carolina.
That's great.
Alabama, yeah. We're going to be doing this quantum vortex party thing. I'm bringing quite a few of the quantum physics devices. So I'm bringing, you know, Fred Bell's projectors. I'm bringing Jonathan Goldman's, you know, higher power technologies, Psychotronic 8 system.
Right.
We're bringing the Moldavite crystal bowl, the thunder drum, tuning forks, crystals, and then some perfect wave things. I mean, I've found that the combination of all these things just kind of goes kapow. I mean, all kinds of stuff happens.
Yeah.
So so I've been experimenting with combining things in different manners.
Yes.
And as we have combined these things, we've been building and building and building, and you know, stuff is really starting to pop. So right now, we can open up a stargate or a vortex just the minute I hit these things with a laser, it's like pow, instantly.
Right.
And we've had some real interesting experiences with that. We're also using sound and, you know, all kinds of frequency things.
Yes.
So we're doing these parties. If somebody wants one, please contact me at 928-301-2131. And again, that's 928-301-2131. Or drop me a line, info@drvalerienmd.com. And you can also get me through the Enlightened Medicine Show on BBS Radio. My show's on Tuesday, 7 p.m. Pacific. But basically, you know, we're open to doing these parties. We do require 10 people or more at each party or the equivalent thereof.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at about, you know, $50 a piece, depending on what the setup is.
Yeah.
It might be more,
right,
you know, if a room has to be paid for and such. But basically, we're offering like a 2 or 3 hour experience. We're also doing workshops. We're going to be doing a workshop at a retreat in Wisconsin, which will be a weekend workshop. And we'll be doing quite a few different kind of holographic techniques there. And we're going to be doing the Holographic Gypsy Tour. And Dawn at BBS Radio here has suggested that name. And so I said, great, I'm going to use it.
That's
but basically, what we're going to do is we're going to do little movies as we're traveling across the country as the Holographic Gypsies, and we'll put them on the BBS site so people can laugh along with us.
Yes, yes.
It'll be fun. And, of course, we're coming to Rochester to see you, Steve.
Absolutely.
And we'll have some fun playing there.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to take you up to Niagara Falls and have a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. We'll be enjoying ourselves to the max, and we'll be laughing. And we're going to have a special segment also on our little movie that we put in. It's going to be called Benny the Couch Sitter. One of our friends here, we're always kidding him about sitting on the couch. And so what we're going to do is we're going to have Benny the Couch Sitter giving us the update from Sedona while we're gone.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And who knows, you know? We might be more famous than we think.
You might be. You know what's interesting? You had mentioned Moldavite bowl. I have Moldavite in necklace form, museum quality pieces. But I've never seen a Moldavite bowl. That's so interesting. That's gotta be quite a piece because I use Moldavite because it's made for getting in touch with higher forms of energy.
Oh, and, absolutely.
Yeah.
The thing with Moldavite that you have to be careful about, though, is that Moldavite will catapult you forward in consciousness.
Yes.
And oftentimes what happens with that, you know, everybody says they want to be enlightened.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to be enlightened quickly. But what they don't know is that sometimes that quick enlightenment requires a huge transition in your life.
You bet.
And so you may lose your job, you may lose your health, you may lose everybody that you love that's important to you. I mean, all kinds of stuff happens.
Yes.
And now normally when I do the Moldavite bowl, I put water in it and tone the bowl and then give the water to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them, you know, parcel this out because if you're not careful with this, you know, it can catapult you a little bit too fast for your comfort.
Yeah, Moldavite is quite interesting. It's very, very potent. Very, very potent. I know I use my necklace. I'll put it in water and stir it around, slosh it around a little bit and drink it down. And that's always good for a lot of power. But you got to be careful with
quite,
it.
It's quite powerful.
Yeah.
And you know the other thing people can use too is the tektite from Tibet, and that's black, but it's really interesting. It's very balancing, and it'll help if you've had too many negative things going on. It can help you to balance that out.
Yes,
but it is extremely powerful also, and it's also meteorite stuff.
Right.
One of the things we found when you're using these things from Mother Nature, and there's quite a few minerals you can do this with, and of course be careful, anything that's got arsenic in it you want to avoid.
Right.
Arsenic and cyanide, you know, they're natural, but I don't recommend ingesting them.
No, I don't think cyanide would be the right thing to do. But,
yeah.
Yes, hello.
Yeah, caller.
Yes.
Hey, Steve and Dr. Valerie. This is Bob Murray.
Oh, Bob, hi.
Hey,
how are you doing?
Howard.
I'd just love to have you guys send me some energy with regard to my muscle knots.
Okay.
Okay.
I found that I was taking a calcium channel blocker, which apparently created the problem, but I'm off it now, and I still have some problems.
Okay.
Bob is a very dear friend, by the way. He's
okay.
A wonderful person, so let's send him.
Okay. Well, first of all, what I'm seeing is I see, like, you know, when you're talking about muscle knots, I all of a sudden saw a target. So my first question to you, Bob, would be, who is around you who is, like, wanting to shoot arrows into your back?
Well, I have been into court with my ex-wife recently.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, there's a target on you there. And so, you know, I mean, you can do all kinds of things physically, but if you don't remove the etheric or the spiritual or the other things, you know, we're all connected. And it's very, very easy to affect someone else. If you're a nasty person, it's real easy to hurt somebody. All you have to do is think at them. So, because everything impacts upon us. So the first thing you need to do is cut the cords and release that energy and just bless her and let her go on her way. And, you know, we all have things we do to each other that are harmful and hurtful. And, you know, what we have to realize is we're all just babies. You know, we're in kindergarten. We're trying to learn how to behave appropriately in the universe.
Yep.
And yeah, and some people are farther behind than others. And we have to forgive them and let them go and let them learn whatever lessons they need and thank them for the lessons that they helped us to learn. And if you had one of those lessons where you're never going to do that again, then that was a very valuable lesson.
Yes.
You know, the people who give you the hardest time on this earth are not the worst people. The people who give you the hardest time are your best buddies in heaven. And they're the ones that are being hard on you because you said before you came to Earth, listen, I got this lesson that I need to learn. And, you know, this is going to be a really hard one. And, you know, you're my best buddy, and I know that you'll do this for me no matter what, no matter how I whine and cry and complain, no matter how bad I am to you, I know you're going to make me learn this lesson. And then we agree, and we go, yep, okay, you got it, I'm your buddy.
She
then
did,
we come to Earth.
Make me learn the lesson, and that was the third major attempt that I had, and each one more painful than the last. So she did. She was successful.
Bob, can you feel the energy going through your heart right now? The your pelvic bowl is being cleared, so you should feel a lot of energy in your pelvic area, and you should also feel a lot of energy going through your heart right now. It's been going
through
for about 3 or 4 minutes. Pardon?
Through where?
It's going through your heart. Your heart's opening up more.
Yeah.
And your pelvic area. In other words, the pelvic bowl, the inside part of your pelvis.
Yeah.
It was very dark, and it's clearing now as we speak. So I suspect you'd be able to feel the energy going down the inside of your legs and down. Can you feel that?
Yeah, especially on the right side.
Good, good, good. This is a wonderful man. He does... he's meditating all the time. I know Bob very well. He's a very dear friend, and he's very much into nature, and he really gives a lot back to Mother Nature. So he's a really, really dear friend, and I respect
him. So it's really important, Bob, for you to ground and to just, as you're doing the release, just let all this stuff go down into Mother Earth and be transmuted.
Mm-hmm.
It's super important. Because you've got to release this stuff, you know.
Yeah, I've been telling myself to do that for days now, and I haven't.
You need really, actually, what you could do, Bob, is to go outside and stand on the grass and let all that just mute itself right into the earth.
Yeah.
The earth will help you.
Yeah, just see all the black going out of you and going down through your feet into the earth and just realizing that Mother Earth can take any energy and transmute it. You know, she's a great entity, and so she can take whatever energy and realize that, you know, she doesn't have to keep it as negative energy. she'll take it in as just plain energy, transmute it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, then we pick it up, you know, when we go to other places as good energy. But, you know, forgiveness is key.
You bet.
And well, forgive yourself.
That's a big point we've been working with a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness. It's a very, very big point.
Well, the most important thing is forgive yourself first,
yes.
You know. Because if you can't forgive yourself, then you really can't forgive anybody else.
Bob,
and, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, I can forgive anybody anything but me.
Yeah. Do you feel a lot more grounded, Bob?
I do. In fact, I walked outside and I'm standing in the lawn.
Good.
Good. Good. Excellent.
Good. Wonderful.
Do you feel like you're more balanced and stronger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to give you a little thing to do right now since you're standing outside. Okay, first of all, close your eyes and just stand there and just breathe slow and deep. And see this brilliant golden light coming from above you, from the heart of the source of all life, and just coming down through the top of your head, all the way down your body, through your feet, into the earth, right into the center of the earth, and see it coming out the other side and going back into the heavens.
Mm.
Now see coming from the core of Mother Earth, a brilliant green light, and it comes all the way up from the core, enters the bottom of your feet, comes all the way up through your body, out the top of your head, into the heavens, circles around, and comes back in the other side of the earth, back to the core. And now see coming from the center of your heart a brilliant hot pink light that goes out in front of you, far, far, far out, splits in half, goes through heaven and earth, and comes back in the back of your heart. And now how do you feel?
Are you with us, Bob?
Pardon?
Are you with us?
I'm with you. I barely hear you, though.
Okay.
Okay. How do you feel now, Bob?
How do you feel now, Bob?
Terrific. Very alive. Alive, I guess, is the best word.
Very good.
Good. And listeners, if you do this little exercise, it's so simple, but it will keep you balanced. And, you know, we live in times that are very interesting, as the ancient Chinese have said.
Yeah.
And so we need to be balanced, no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing. In order to get that balance, you have to stand on Earth.
Right.
Now, your representation of Earth, if you're up in an apartment and you can't go out of the apartment, put your feet on some clay tile, because that's your representative in connection to Earth. Okay?
Yep.
And don't forget, I breathe in the breath of God. We've talked about that many times, so that's really important to do, Bob.
I include that in my meditations every day now.
Wonderful, Bob.
Excellent.
Wonderful.
Well, in this grounding exercise, that will really help you. And I've done this with people where I had Steve's friend's sister came out to see me, and she was going through a hard time. And so everybody kept saying she needs to be grounded. I said, okay, no problem. Well, we did that, but first I picked her up, and she was light as a feather. And I said, okay, now do your grounding technique, and she did, and I still picked her up. And I said, okay, that's better. You weigh twice as much now, but I still picked you up with ease. I said, now I'm going to teach you this grounding technique, and I did that. I couldn't lift her up. And she's a little thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, you know, I can lift guys up, you know? So it was kind of interesting, and for her to see that, and she just left a different person. You know, she had to snap back in her eyes, and you know, this is our connection to all life.
Yep.
And it's balancing, and it's so vitally important. So anybody out there who feels that they're unbalanced or that life is not treating them fairly or anything, get back to this balance point. You'll see the difference in your life.
I think it's so important that people really get back into touch with nature. It's so, so important.
Absolutely.
And it's just, it's so important that people don't realize how much there is of a gift that's given us from the earth and how much nature really wants to help us. And we really need to make that connection again. That's what life is all about, to be able to give and take and share.
Absolutely.
And that's really wonderful to do. I find it so interesting. I have such a dear friend in you that, you know, you come on the show and you have so much information to give and so much love, and no wonder you're such a dear friend.
Oh, thank you.
You're quite welcome.
I just want to know one, you know.
I love you very much, Steve.
Bob, thank you so much, and I know Valerie loves you too, and we just we want you to know that we're with you, and we pray for you, and we pray for everybody that calls in, and pray for people that don't even call in that we can help with. So God bless you as a friend, and I hope we have many years with good friendship, Bob.
Me too.
And say hello to your mom for me.
Say a prayer for my friend Beverly, who's too chicken to call.
Okay, wonderful. I'll do that.
Thank you.
Okay, buddy.
Thank you both.
Take care. God bless.
Welcome.
God bless you.
So anyhow, it's just it's wonderful knowing there are people out there that meditate every day and they try to do the best they can, and that's so wonderful to hear.
Yeah, and it's really, you know, heartwarming to be able to help somebody in this way with these simple things. They seem so simple to me because, you know, I've been in and out of Sedona for a number of years.
Yes.
And this is all, like, everybody here knows this stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we all have to live it, because the energies here are so so chaotic and so intense.
Yes.
That, you know, you come here when you're ready to give up everything in life, basically, and you know,
yes.
start all over.
Yeah.
It's one of those places. And
yeah.
And so, you know, you have to learn balance one way or the other. If you don't learn it, you go crazy. And I've watched a lot of people out here go crazy. I mean, literally.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you kind of look at them and you go, oh, boy. You know, there's a lot of so-called psychics out here that are that way, too.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you can tell very quickly that they're out of balance because of the things that happen to them. And you know, just, I don't know, it's like a trap, you know. If you get used to doing one thing and you're comfortable with it, you're trapped.
I think it's so important that people speak the truth to themselves.
Absolutely.
They seem to get away from that, and that's something we need to remember. And the way to do that is to just listen to the voice of silence inside of us.
Yeah.
And what I'm learning tonight even more is that by grounding yourself to Mother Earth more, that's a good way of keeping yourself mentally and physically fit, and to know that there is so much protection in the earth that will help you.
Yeah, and, see, this will help those people that think that they're mind-controlled.
Yeah.
If you have any inkling of being mind-controlled, if you have any wonder about it, go do this grounding technique.
Absolutely.
And then ask that the pillar of white light, of 100% pure, divine, white light and love, be placed around you.
Yes.
Then ask your questions. Ask your higher self. Some people call that the Father.
Yes.
Call it Father, Mother, God, you know, whatever you want to call it. But ask your higher self to give you the answers.
Yeah.
And then you'll find out, because the first thing that people don't realize is they've got to be clear, you know. And what's going on in the world now that the bad guys are doing is they're trying to cloud our minds so
yes.
that we can't even ask.
Yes.
And so it's very, very important to keep connected. And with that little exercise, that's the grounding to heaven and to earth and to all of the beings of love, which is everything in creation, even the bad guys. They just don't realize it yet.
Yes. Yes.
So basically it's just, you know, get yourself grounded and find your true place in life.
Yes.
Which is as this divine spark.
Right, right.
And then nobody can pull the wool over your eyes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I consider this survival mechanism, no matter what you're doing, no matter
okay.
where you are.
Okay.
This is your survival thing.
Yeah. That's wonderful. That's really wonderful.
Yeah.
It's such a pleasure having you on the program.
Oh, thank you.
It's so much
fun. It's a pleasure to be with you, always.
So much fun with you.
Thank you for having me on the program.
Oh, absolutely.
Allowing me to reach a few more people.
Absolutely.
Although, you know, we kind of have a loyal following, you and I.
Yes, we do. Yes. Yes,
these people listen to both of us, which is great. I love them. They're incredible people. And, you know, they're the ones we're doing this for. And, you know, without their support, you and I would probably be sitting there looking at each other going,
yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a client that I was working on in Sweden, and he had called me over the phone privately. And I guess there's so much to nature and so much to know that there's no disconnection. Wherever you call, you can feel the energy instantaneously.
Yes.
And it's really amazing that we just let everything go and we stay very balanced and very poised. Mm-hmm. And to be able to do this work, you need to do that.
Yep.
And so it's wonderful knowing that there's great healers like you on the planet that are doing so much good work. And
thank you.
So
well, you're more the healer. You know, I'm the healer of the mind.
Yeah. Well, we work well together.
Yeah, we work well together. We do a really good job together. And, you know, I think we're out of time.
I think so. Valerie, thank you so much for being on, dear.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Love you, sweetheart.
Love you, too.
Talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
Bye. I think it's wonderful having Valerie on the program, and I appreciate Bob calling in. Next week, please give us a call, and we're more than happy to heal you. I think I have a special guest next week. It'll be a surprise. And thank you so much for being here, and thank you so much for listening. And God bless you all. This is the Steve Barish Healing Hour, and thank you so much for listening to the program. Bye-bye.